Coming up on this Draft Prospect Review is the defensive line. Hi, I'm Lori Bransky, and you're listening to the official podcast of the New England Patriots, today on April 18th. The defensive line is the topic of today's Draft Prospect Review, so here's Brian Lowe, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart with the rundown.
Thank you once again, Laurie. We are back with the Patriots Draft Prospect Review here on Patriots.com. We're on a Tuesday, and we are shifting gears to the defensive line on this show, joined by Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale. And I guess when we start out with the defensive line for this draft, it pretty much starts at North Carolina State, where you have the number one overall defensive lineman and a few others, Manny Lawson possibly in the first round, John McCargo maybe also on day one. So we'll start out with Mario Williams, who is possibly going to go as high as two, maybe even one. Could we even consider that? But either way, he's the top guy, defensive end. What makes him so special?
He's just a devastating physical specimen. I mean, he's 295 pounds. He's quick as a cat. And the thing you're talking about Manny Lawson is when you lined up against Mario Williams, they were double and triple teaming him on every play, and he was still making plays in the backfield. They compare him to Julius Peppers. I don't see quite that comparison, maybe an athletic ability, but this is a bigger guy. I compare him more to Strahan, more of that run stuffer who can also rush the passer.
I was going to say, I agree. He's not quite as explosive as Peppers, but I think he might be a better all-around player, and I think he's closer to almost a Seymour type.
Well, I was going to say, and I talked to Rich Cimini in New York, I'm not sure which paper, is it the Daily News or Newsday, one of those, and that's exactly the guy he compared him to. Is Mangini is going to look for his Seymour, and Mario Williams might be that kind of a guy.
6'7", 300 pounds, he puts on a little, and you're talking Richard Seymour in terms of build, and he has the speed and everything. The other thing we saw on tape, Tom, is when we were watching Lawson, a lot of times when Lawson made a play, Williams was there or kind of made the play.
One of those NFL assists.
Although, it's not like you go the other way and see Williams make a play and go, well, Lawson really contributed to that. It's clear that he was the Richard Seymour, and the other guys were all benefiting from him being there.
Right, and he was the one that had to fight through three guys when Lawson was always singled up one-on-one.
Right.
Important to note here, as we mentioned Lawson, if you are a loyal listener to these podcasts, you will be familiar with some of the names that we bring up, because when we were talking about linebackers, as always, there are a lot of guys who might have been defensive linemen in college who are projected to be linebackers, outside linebackers or whatever. So Lawson's one of the guys that we did bring up, but it's important to bring him up here because he truly was a defensive lineman. Lawson, do you see him as a guy that's going to go in the first round? Do you see him as a fit maybe right here in New England?
Yeah, I think he'll go in the first round. The only problem I have with him is his frame. I don't think he can put on much more weight. That's why I don't see him being a defensive end. I think he's more the 3-4 rush linebacker that people are projecting him. He's awful thin. His quickness is undeniable. I mean, he gets around, but if a bigger offensive tackle gets his hands on him, they can have their way with him. So I think he needs more. He's more of a system guy, where Mario Williams, you could just line him up anywhere and he would produce.
Okay. Well, sticking with some of the defensive linemen probably going to go in the first round, you got guys like Tamba Hali at Penn State, and at tackle, widely regarded as the top tackle, is Haloti Ngata of Oregon. What are your thoughts on specifically on Ngata?
Well, there's two tackles that are at the top of the draft, Ngata and Bunkley. They're two totally different tackles. Bunkley's more your Leroy Glover, rush inside type guy, where Nada's more your Sam Adams, Ted Washington, space eater. So that again goes back to system. What kind of system do you run? Who are you looking for? And I think both players will be selected in the top 15 picks.
And Bunkley's a playmaker, like the physique-wise. Yeah. You look at him and you say,
"It's a scary man."
Well, that guy makes plays. Ngata or Ngata, he's just the big 340 kind of fat body in the middle of the field and stuff the run, maybe a Cleveland Brown type or somebody looking for a young nose tackle.
And that's around where he went in the writer's mock draft. Those guys, Bunkley and Ngata, went somewhere between 8 and 12. I'm not exactly sure which teams. I would be more interested for the Patriots, and I know, Brian, you're probably going to get to this, the next level of guys too, but for the Patriots, maybe a Vince Wilfork backup, and not so – obviously you're not going to – use the 21st pick to take a guy strictly as a backup from the start. But, maybe is it Ngata? Ngata.
No,
I'm still going with
Ngata.
But a guy like him, maybe that's more of a, third or fourth round pick, I think might make some sense, because that's the one thing the defensive line lacked a little bit. We talked about it on PFW in Progress a little bit last week. They have the starters in place. They have Jarvis Green for a quality backup. You know, they have Marquise Hill who's still developing. They still don't know about, but they don't really have anybody that, you know, 15, 20 plays a game, or if in the event that Wilfork gets injured, they really don't have anybody backing up that spot.
Well, an interesting guy, and he might fit the Bill Belichick scheme of third-round picks if he goes that far. I don't know that he'll fall that far, is Gabe Watson, who has Michigan. The size, the talent, and
I
everything
no
to
part
be
of
a
him.
Stud. But he's the Bill guy who could probably be better than Nagata and be a top-10 talent if he just played up to his ability. Watching him on tape, he clearly didn't do that at times. Watching, I believe it was Nick Mangold, Ohio State center, just absolutely killed him and shouldn't. In no way, when they're blocking one-on-one, should he kill him. Gabe Watson, with athleticism, size, everything, should be able to fend that off and didn't. So there's serious questions about his desire,
now,
his work ethic.
Does he have third-round pick written all over him? I mean, that whole Bill Belichick theory about the third round is guys with first-round talent that, for whatever reason, fall to the third round. And for the reason for Watson is... he doesn't always play hard.
I could see him slipping because he was benched at Michigan. So when you go talk to Lloyd Carr, I don't think you're going to get glowing, you know, assessments of him. So I think he's a type of guy that has first round talent. People kind of project him at the end of the first, early second. But after you start talking to his position coaches and hear the bad things about him, he could slip into that third round category.
Yeah.
Well, you never know. I mean, it could be one of those guys. You know, they do it sometimes where they draft a guy or sign a guy here in New England, and they feel like the rest of the people around them, or Richard Seymour, or Ty Warren, or whatever, can bring a guy to the level that they want him to be at, that they would expect in terms of work. You know, maybe that's a guy you can take a shot on.
Just want to go back for a second with Bunkley at Florida State. Cameron Wimbley, another guy that we talked about as possible linebacker, also on the defensive line with Bunkley. Anything similar that you've seen in terms of the Mario Williams-Manny Lawson pairing with Bunkley and Wimbley?
Not really. And I should say I have a red flag with both those guys, and I'll tell you why. They started shooting up right after the combine, and if you've seen what Bunkley looks like,
now when you say shooting up,
shooting up,
what exactly do you mean?
If you've seen Bunkley,
he was shooting up long before the combine.
Just mean shooting up the draft boards here. I mean,
Shooting up the draft boards based, you know, on physique, on drills that they did, and when you watch them on tape, like when you watch Florida State on tape, I don't think they made as many plays as they should have for what their athletic ability is. Do you agree?
I would agree with that. Yeah, and those are the guys you fear. But sometimes it goes the other way. Sometimes the system or whatever holds a guy back, and he gets to the pro level and starts putting up the numbers that maybe coincide with his measurables and the things that pop out at the combine.
Okay. Very interesting.
Catch you in the middle of a paragraph there, Brian?
No, sorry about that. Just checking on a few notes here. I want to bring up a few guys that I know we wanted to talk about in terms of later round Patriots, and among those is Ray Edwards, who coming out of Purdue, also he's a junior like Mario Williams. And Chris Gokong as well. Why don't you, Tom, I know you want to talk about those guys.
Those two and Daryl Tapp are three guys that just make plays. They don't always look the part, and they don't have the measurables, but you watch them on tape. They're just all over the place making
Darryl
plays.
Daryl
Tapp, he's short. He doesn't look like he's a great pass rusher, but then you watch him, and nobody, and you know, I hate to say this, including DeBrickashaw Ferguson, could block him last year. So that's another guy maybe in the third round if he starts to fall. The Patriots look at him and see value there. But Gokong and Edwards are two other guys, pass rushing guys. If they're looking for depth on that defensive line, that would be a nice fit here.
And Gokong's the guy out of Cal Poly, kind of the Dan Klecko type, undersized, great athlete, won AA Player of the Year defensively, has played nose, outside, you know, pass rusher, ton of 45 sacks over the last couple of years, 42.
Last 2 years.
Very productive. Just, you know, if they draft him on ESPN, Chris Berman will say he's a football player. You know, just one of those
guys.
Well,
they got a football
player. But, you know, not a guy you're looking necessarily to come in and start for you, but a guy that his production, maybe he just earns a chance to contribute on some level for a football
team. And certainly, as we're talking about defensive line, the idea that anyone they draft first round through the seventh round, free agents, none of these guys would be coming in to start.
No.
I mean, this is, if there's any position or group of positions on this team where they're not looking at a starter immediately, it's got to be defensive line.
Right. You're not even looking for a guy really to play, because
if you play,
you're kind of in trouble.
Right.
Means you have injuries and things are happening.
Need depth.
So that's important to note. It's we're not saying that they're not going to draft a defensive lineman. They probably will, because they value defensive linemen. But these guys aren't coming in to start.
Just one more guy.
It's not overly deep, too. So it's not only that they do value that position,
true,
but
true.
It's not. I mean, we saw it last year when Seymour was out. There was a major. Right. I mean, obviously, taking the best, you know, the best peg out of the puzzle here, but they had trouble behind the start. You know, the starting three. They had trouble filling in. In you know, with Jarvis Green really the only experienced backup.
Right. A couple of defensive tackles.
I'm used to it.
Deep later round defensive tackles that might be of interest and might want to note it. LaKevin Smith out of Nebraska, and also Montavious Stanley from Louisville.
Yeah, Tom's boy.
Those are two guys that have played in the 3-4. They're big 300-pounders. And Stanley was a guy Andy and myself liked at the combine. And I noticed he just cracked Mel Kiper's top five at the position.
Did he? Okay.
So he must be moving up the draft boards
shooting
right
up
now.
Shooting up.
Yeah, shooting up.
Shooting up.
I don't think he's shooting up like Bunkley, but he's moving up. And LaKevin Smith at Nebraska played a lot of 3-4 nose tackle. Like Paul said, if there's one place on the line that they need to address is more depth at defensive tackle.
The one guy I just want to bring up as a guy that's been linked in recent reports to the Patriots is Barry Cofield from Northwestern.
That's right.
End tackle type. Not very impressive on film.
No.
I kind of fell out of love with him, as I like to say on this program.
Which, of course, means that he originally was in love
with
him.
Well, no, you read something about
a
guy.
Jilted.
You read his bio, and there's a lot of positives in there,
your
things they do
melts.
Well. Then you watch video, and sometimes things just jump out to you. And this guy, he seems slow off the ball, and then I saw him getting controlled by offensive linemen, getting pushed 5 yards downfield.
Where is he slated as a pick? Does anybody know?
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Who are we talking about?
Barry Cofield.
Northwestern?
Like fourth rounder.
Fourth, yeah.
Not a...
Okay, so he's not quite as highly regarded as the kid Castillo last year.
No.
You know, coming. Okay, because, I mean...
And a lot of his bio says, you know, lived in Castillo's shadow for a couple of years,
well,
and now maybe looking blah, 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 blah.
That's exactly what I was getting at, and Castillo had a very solid rookie year for San Diego.
He's a guy that shot up late in the...
Well, I was going to say, now, he literally shot up, but he admitted it, so I suppose that's not slandering the guy.
And then Mike Vrabel ripped him for it on...
Yes,
national
that's
television.
Right. That's right. But then I was completely swayed by a feature I read on him, and I believe
so now Paul believes it's okay to shoot up before the draft.
Well, the Patriots took a first.
Didn't say that.
The Patriots took a defensive lineman in the first round in 2001, 2003, and 2004. Unlikely, we should say, that they'll take a first-round defensive lineman. Is that a consensus?
Paul will quit if they take a defensive lineman.
I'll go out with my shocked line again.
Shocked or quit?
What
I mean,
was the
big difference?
I never said I would quit
okay,
anything.
All right.
I would say it's the least
I'm not quitting until
likely,
I have another job, guy.
Aside from
punter,
quarterback,
kicker,
maybe.
Yeah. Punter, kicker, and
punter, kicker, quarterback. I would put, you know, defensive line as next least likely to be selected.
How about this
round.
As a segue? What's more likely, defensive line or tight end?
Tight end is more likely.
More likely. Tight end is our next position coming up on Thursday.
What if
how
I
do you
had
like
said
that?
Defensive line?
Well, defensive line and tight end are the two positions that the Patriots have targeted in the first round.
True.
Under Bill Belichick. So that's going to wrap up our talk of defensive linemen during this podcast. Keep in mind, with the draft now, we're nearing 10 days away from the draft. PFW's mock draft contest. Try your hand at the draft with the Patriots Football Weekly mock draft contest and win Patriots gear. Go to www.pfwonline.com now and click the mock draft contest link to participate. And, of course, the entire Patriots.com draft section is rolling. I mean, it's safe to say there is a lot coming out. Tom has updates also on who's rising, who's falling, and especially as we get closer. So find out more about the draft prospects at patriots.com/draft/2006. So we will be back on Thursday. We'll be talking about tight ends. Sure to be another fascinating discussion as we talk about who has shot up and who has shot down, I guess. So that's going to do it for today. Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale. I'm Brian Lowe. Let's go back to Laurie.
Guys, that's it for today. Remember, you can still get press conferences from the 2006 NFL Combine and the draft section at patriots.com/draft/2006. Come back next week for tight ends. Thanks for listening.